Welcome back. We're broadcasting from the Novigrad Complex, 94 WIP's Champ Camp. It's driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World RV Sales Service, parts and accessories. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillian. Joining us right now, a guy we spoke to right here in this same spot last year before a special season, Reed Blankenship, Eagles
Safety. What up?
Reed, how you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Living the dream, you know.
So I'm curious, who came up with the name Exciting Whites? I kind of like that, too. I like white wine,
The city of Philadelphia.
They came up with the name?
They came up with it. I think it's been around when I first got here, because I've seen the picture. It's the wine selection.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, well, Hugh's a big wine guy.
Yeah, I like the whites.
So
I like
it's
the white
Exciting Whites. And then, obviously, when Coop started playing, they just took it and ran with it and started calling us the Exciting Whites. So.
Well, it's stuck, and it's a fun one. So how was your offseason? I mean, you're a champion
now.
You got married recently, right?
I'm just married.
A month ago, week?
Yeah,
week
July 5th.
Awesome. Congratulations.
One of the best decisions I've ever made. Hopefully she's listening right now. You know?
Yeah, get some bounty points.
Well, shout out there. That's a good one.
Shout out.
But I'm sure the offseason was what, now, how – take us through. Was it different because of everything that went along with – you're a Super Bowl champion. How close was it to your typical offseason? And also just – the reality of yet a month extra of playing football. Uh-huh. How is your offseason different this year than maybe in years past?
I'd like to compare it to, to 22. A lot of us were here during that time. You kind of know, you learn from experience. Even though I didn't play a lot in 22, I kind of looked at the guys that were, you know, that started in front of me, like Marcus Epps and them, and when they started training. And, you know, you come home from here after the Super Bowl, and you're sitting around, and you know, obviously you got friends across the league, and they've been training, you know, and you're like, man, like, when do I go back? You know, you're sitting there fighting with yourself, like, am I lazy? Am I not doing this right? But I think after the parade, I think a week or two, I started back. And, you know, it's just trying to get your body back in that routine. And once you start it, I mean, you can't let it go. So
my question is this, because last year we talked to you, you were still fairly young, you know, at the safety position. Now – you're the vet.
I know. It's
you're
crazy.
You're like the OG in the room. So tell me, how has that changed for you in such a short period of time?
I wouldn't say a lot of it has changed. You know, I try to pride myself in just being myself and allowing the guys that are rookies to be able to be vocal and to be able to be themselves. This is not a hostile environment, you know. That's not what I want to create in our room. And I'm glad I'm able to kind of take control of that. And, you know, we got the coaches in the room that allow me to do that and be the voice. And, you know, it's kind of something I've been waiting for. Have a lot of guys that, you know, I played with years prior, you know, like BG, Fletch, guys in our room, you know, Slay, CD, like all those guys, just watch how they lead and how vocal they were. You learn from experience, and you watch them, and I'm taking bits and pieces from their leadership into mine, so.
You mentioned Slay. When he left, or I think it was around that time he might have been leaving, but, you know, it was around that time of free agency. Mm-hmm. On his podcast, he mentioned you, like, that you were the next leader in the DB room. I don't know if you heard it when it happened, or now you're hearing me say it. What does that mean to you that, Slay's one of those vets that everyone respects around the league, that he pointed you out as the next leader?
You know, it means a lot, especially, like, I looked up to Slay a lot, especially when I was a rookie. He was one of those dudes that created that environment that allowed me just to be myself. And, you know, you have role models and guys that's been in the league for years that's like that. Because prior, you know, in college you hear about the DB room is going to be tough. You know, it's going to be tough on you here and there. But it was never like that, you know. And like I said, Slay had a huge part in that. And it meant a lot to me when he said that. I know me and Slay, we're tight, and you know, we have talks here and there, but, you know, I hope he's doing great right now.
All right, take us through today. I mean, you guys
– it was hot, man.
Full pads, hot, and you guys were – you had two out there 2 hours. And I saw a couple of videos. I saw it when I was out there myself. Looked like you were delivering some thuds out there. What was it like to play some real football again with pads on?
Oh, it's great. You know, you can play the underwear Olympics all you want, but once the pads come on, it's different. You know, it's real football. I know Saquon, he's one of those guys that you're going to hear a lot. He was talking to us a lot today. But yeah, it was one of those hot ones. I mean, that's training camp for you. And, you know, we say it's hot every year like this, but it is what it is. It builds character, you know. So
the other safety spot next to you, it feels like there's a lot of guys there that are trying to get their feet wet and trying to find their role. And we're not sure. I'm not sure if you're sure who's going to be lining up next to you game one against the Cowboys. How's that been going, trying to communicate and trying to understand where everyone is? Because you have to, yeah, that's important for you to know where your other safety is next to you. How's that going as you try to learn them, they try to learn you?
Yeah, you know, I tell them that I'm not going to try and change a lot of who I am. I want them to be able to adapt to me. And like I said, I'm going to try and be as vocal as I can. I'm going to try to help them out on the back end. But, you know, at times, you know, bullets start flying. It gets hot. It's hard for me to communicate across the field. And, you know, they're all doing a great job, man. And the best thing about it is they're asking the right questions. And, you know, the rookies especially, you know, they're asking the high-level questions. And we're so much farther along than we were, you know, in OTAs especially. You know, Sydney's doing a great job. Drew's doing a great job. Like, everybody that's been rotating in has been doing a great job. And, you know, it speaks volumes to our room and how we work together and how we compete together.
Eagle safety, Reed Blankenship with us.
You know, Reed, talk to me a little bit about the growth of Cooper DeJean and his versatility, because, man, saw him out there playing safety first couple practices. I mean, he's just a straight-out athlete. Yeah. Talk a little bit about him, man, and what he could potentially bring to the table.
Yeah, you know, he, like you said, he's a great athlete, and you want some of your best athletes on the field at all times. And it doesn't feel like he's in his second year. You know, it feels like he's in his fifth or sixth year, and he's only 22. You know, the sky's the limit for him, and, you know, he's already ranked in number 60 in the league. You know, that speaks volume. You know,
that's
great. But the good thing about it is he's very humble. He's always, like, he's one of those guys always asking questions, always just in tune with football and just trying to be the best football player possible, you know. And, you know, that's what I like about him. And we're in contact every day. We work good off each other, and that's what you need. So,
is there something to – it feels like your interceptions in your career have been clutch interceptions, if that's even a thing that people talk about. Like, they seem like they happen at huge moments. The Saints game, Packers game, Commanders game a couple years ago, the one off of Rodgers to start your career in 22. Is there something about those moments where you kind of level up? Is it right place, right time? How have you been able to make those plays in big, like, less than 2 minutes to go in the game to kind of finish these wins here?
Well, if you look back at it, I mean, especially go back to the Saints game, I mean, our D-line was in Derek Carr's face. You know, it's hard to play quarterback when you got guys in your face like that. And, you know, it started up front and then good coverage with everybody else. And then I was, like I said, right place, right time. And it's all about just knowing who you're playing with and knowing that the guys are going to get their job done. So I just do mine and not have to worry.
So this is year two under Vic Fangio. Mm-hmm. Has he added more? Because I know you have a lot of different pieces on defense. So there's that element of, hey, this is year two in the system, but also all these new guys are now around you. Mm-hmm. What's the defense like? Compare where you were a year ago to where you are now, understanding and all the stuff he's put in here.
Oh, I think we're already on that, like I said, that PhD-type level now. Me and Zach's having conversations that we were having later in the year, you know, once we got more comfortable with the system. And we were having them in OTAs at the time. And it's just like, we're starting to pick up, like, different route concepts of how we can play this, how we can, you know, disguise it a little bit better, be in the right place, right time. And, you know, not just Zach, you know, you got Cooper especially, too. Like, we're talking across the field when we're playing. He's playing nickel onto the boundary. And, you know, especially corners, like, Q's doing a great job. Like, he's understanding the game. And once you got players like that to understand the game, I mean, the sky's the limit, you know, so.
Reed, was there a moment last year started to click? I mean, you guys' first month of the season, it was choppy on defense, right? Then
right.
All of a sudden, you come out of that bye, Cleveland, and it just started to roll. Was there a moment, because you've played on two great teams now in a few years in the league, was there a moment you started to say, hey, it's clicking a little bit here?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like every game, you ask somebody else, they'll probably say some part in the season was clicking, but I feel like each game had its own challenges, and it just felt like we wanted to be as dominant as we could, and if we weren't, we just held ourselves accountable, and it just felt like we weren't playing up to par sometimes, you know. And it's crazy to think, because, you know, we were ranked so high here and there, but it's just like we want to be better in a lot of those areas if we can. So,
well, by the end, you were dominant. Mm-hmm. What was it like to do that to the Chiefs? I mean, that had to feel.
Yeah, I was about to ask you that.
That had to feel special. I mean,
it did,
because it's rare. I mean, since Mahomes became their quarterback, they lose by double digits so rarely. And to do it, what did it feel like out there when you guys felt like you were in control of that game?
I mean, it felt great. Whoever we were playing, I mean, if we beat somebody like that, you're going to feel as dominant as you can. And at the end of the day, we're just having fun. You know, one of the most crucial times, you know, the biggest stage of your life, you're there and you're relaxed and you're having fun. I mean, you can't ask for a better experience. So all I can say is we were having fun out there even the week we were here, practicing in the link and just had pads on. It's like, man, this is our last game, but who cares? let's don't stop here. Let's win it all. You know?
Well, you did. You did by dominating the Chiefs. Reed, we appreciate you hopping on.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations again, and good luck this season,
yep,
Reed.
Appreciate y'all.
There he goes. Reed Blankenship, Eagles safety. And we're about to be jumping at this. We're going back-to-back with guests.
We're going back-to-back.
That's right.
You know how hard it is to go back-to-back.
Well, the Eagles are trying to do it. Reed Blankenship to Jalix Hunt, who came on last year and played a big role in the Eagles' defense as they went down the stretch to become Super Bowl champions. And now Jalix Hunt entering year two in the NFL, about to sit down with us on the Midday Show. Jalix Hunt, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Pretty good, pretty good. So I'm going straight to the Super Bowl, Jalix, because at what point in that game did you feel like they couldn't block you? Because they looked like they couldn't block you. So at what point did you feel like hey, I'm about to work this cat like a shift?
I mean, it was really just the confidence I had in how we prepared in the room.
Mm-hmm.
That was Coach Coach Fangio.
Oh, you had a I want that. The flashback. Because you when you laughed, you had a flashback.
You saw that in his eyes?
I need the flashback. What did he say to you in that moment that you knew that today was going to be your day?
Man, he said he trusted us completely. We didn't blitz any, and he said it was going to be on us. You know, Mahomes is such a dynamic quarterback, and he can make plays on his feet in the air with his arm. So we needed as much defense as we could on the back end. So he told us it was up to us. So the amount of work we put in on just diagnosing the tackles, the centers, the guards, where Mahomes escapes out of the pocket, everything. When we went into the game, it was just a matter of time, like when we were going to dominate. It wasn't really a question of if we were.
You cleaned that up a little bit, though.
That was our mindset.
you clean that up, though.
We appreciate cool. that, but it's a good, great story.
But no, you can tell. It was way more to that. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to ask no more, but I know it was way more to that story than what you just told
me. My story, I'm sticking to it.
So take us through what it's like for you year one to two. I mean, what a year, right? You come in and, you know, we didn't know what to expect, right? You're not a first-round pick, but by the end of the season, you're playing a lot, and you're playing a big role. And take us through your mindset. Like, where are you now in terms of understanding this defense compared to where you were last year? How much have you grown in your mental state with this defense compared to what we talked to a year ago?
Just being a professional, honestly. I talk to BG a lot. I talk to Sweat a lot. Just anybody in the room, anybody in the building who could give me any tips about just being a professional and how to progress my game into the next level. So,
don't worry about it.
This year, I've just been approaching the game, asking a lot more questions, being a lot more comfortable in my role, and I've learned so much. And, dag, it sucks that BG's not here, but, you know, if I ever need to text him, I can. He always talks about carrying yourself as a professional. So last year I came in here, I told y'all I was a little bit nervous. I just wanted to find my footing. BG sat me down and told me it doesn't matter where you were drafted. It doesn't matter if you were drafted. If you were UDFA, it doesn't matter. You're a professional. You're on this team. And you can't look at it as this is your developmental year. You're a professional. Act like it. So that snapped me into the mindset that I'm carrying on throughout the rest of my career. Is I'm a professional. I need to play like it. So just my attention to detail, the questions I'm asking, how I'm trying to lead the rookies that are in or anybody, I'm giving them the same advice that was given to me as last year when I came in. So that's really been my progression from year one to two so far.
What does it feel like? What feeling do you get considering the offseason, what the team did? They're relying on you more than probably a year ago, right? You look at the depth chart last year, and BG was here, you mentioned. Sweat was here. Some veterans. Now, BG retired. Sweat was left in free agency. And, look, the team could have drafted another high-edge player. They could have signed one. They did sign some guys, but they could have signed one on the first day of free agency. They could have traded for one. There's big names out there. They didn't. What does it mean to you that it feels like they're relying on you a lot this season?
It means a lot. It means that they trust us. Me, Nolan, O'Shawn was here at the end of last year, and he's going into this year as well. But everybody they brought into the room as well. I mean, they've been guys on the teams that they play in. They get sacks. They get to the quarterback. So it shows that they wanted a new group of DNs. And, I'm so grateful that they wanted to go with me and Nolan and bring in some guys that are fast, can rush. I love to get to the quarterback and have so much in their arsenal already. But we're all young. I don't think anybody's over. Double O is 8 years in, I think. But we just got him. So he's been a great addition. But everybody else is year five at the most.
Who's the voice right now? We just had Reed in here. Reed's one of the oldest guys on your defense.
Yeah, that's not that old.
That's not that old. You know, I mean, is it Zach? Like, who's do you have a vocal leader? Is that emerging? What is it like to play on a defense that's all super young?
It's cool because we're all peers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we have somebody who's been in the league 15 years like BG was, and you kind of just, oh, that's BG. Like, you approach him differently. It's a lot easier because I know not being as close to BG, it can seem a little bit intimidating talking to him, but everybody's so close in age. A lot of them went to Georgia, so they know each other.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we all connect on just how tough we are, how much we love to play defense and fly around. So whoever needs to be the vocal leader in that moment steps up. Zach, N'Kobe, you know, it's often one of those linebacker roles because how our linebackers play and how Vic Fangio likes his linebackers to play is all over the field. So when you can impact the game like that, you just naturally fall into that role. So it's usually a linebacker, but like Reed, Coop can step up. It doesn't matter. Adore, he just got here, but he's a vet at the corner position. So it really means whoever needs to step up, whoever needs to say something, we'll hold each other accountable and we'll say something.
So how's that been for you? Because you hit on something that I think is very important, the fact that, you know, BG was a little bit older, so his time was a little bit different because, you know, he's a family man. But the fact that all of you guys are fairly the same age and you kind of get the fellowship a little bit more than you did with BG, how has that changed for you this year, knowing that basically all you guys are about the same age and y'all can hang out?
We hung out a lot last year, too. But this year, we joke around. We bid. A lot of our jokes are based on things that we already know about. We hop on the game with each other. We're always shadow boxing, offense, defense.
Mm-hmm.
It just means it's like they're like a lot more like brothers instead of like almost like mentors. Like BG was more so of a mentor, but now they're like brothers. And you can talk to your brother a little bit differently than you can to a mentor.
Yeah,
so if I need to get on you, I can get on you. But you know it's not from a place of I'm trying to talk down or disrespect you or anything like that. It's more so of we have a standard to uphold. We have a goal to accomplish. And you're my brother, and I expect better than you, better of you.
Did it feel real today with the full pads on? Is this now? Are we back now? Is this real football with the full pads
on?
Man,
we've been in full football mode since whenever OTA started, honestly. That second little off-season break or whatever you want to call it, I've been so locked in. I've been just learning, but it for sure physically feels like football season.
Yeah,
definitely
hot,
a hot day like this today. Got to get in, got to get that water, rehydrate and everything. But, yeah, we're in full swing right now.
What's it like for you going up every day against Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson? And be honest, are you getting the best of them and you start to win those battles?
Man, I'm learning a lot more each rep. Jeez. I'm so confident in knowing that if I can get a rush on Jordan Mailata or Lane Johnson, I think I can get a rush on anybody in the world. These are some of the best tackles in the league, if not the best tackles in the league. So just being able to pick their brains, I almost got you there. What made you take that extra step? What made you stop your feet? What do you think can work on you? Why do you shoot your outside hand instead of your inside hand? Why do you shoot your inside hand instead of your outside hand? Like what is the patience? Just being able to break down how they sit and how I can attack that set, man, I just learn each and every rep.
Well, that's great stuff. Jalex, man, congratulations again on last year. Good luck this year.
Thank you,
rooting for you, expecting big things. Jalex Hunt,
appreciate
Eagles
you,
Edge, with
appreciate
us, heading to his second year.
Have a good one, man.
There he goes. Jalex Hunt with us on the WIP Midday Show. All right, 215-592-9494. We appreciate Reed and Jalex hopping on with us after practice. By the way, a long practice. They practiced for about 2 hours.
Yeah, they got it in today.
Full pads in the heat. One thing I noticed talking to those guys, and we've talked to Reed a few times, obviously they're growing, right? The third, second-year players.
Yeah.
You could hear it in their voice. Like, just Jalex, last year with us, it may have been the first or second time he was ever doing an interview like this.
Mm-hmm.
He just sounds more
mature.
Grown up. Yeah, mature.
Mature. I mean, you
like
know.
Like, he's ready.
Battle-tested, battle-hardened, whatever you want to call it. He's a guy that, you know, he went to the mountaintop first year in the league, man. I mean, think about that for a minute. You go to a team that goes to the Super Bowl, you're an integral part of that success that they had in that game. Now you come into the season as a starter.
Well, and I
that is
huge.
Phenomenal.
I also I didn't want to knock like Ojulari and Uche, but what I was trying to get at to him with the idea, Hugh, they could have tried to trade for T.J. Watt, right? They could have tried to trade for Trey Hendrickson.
They believe in those guys,
right? They could have signed Josh Sweat back.
Yeah,
right? They're basically saying Nolan Smith and Jalex, you're the edge guys.
You're the future.
Right. You're the you are starters on the edge, and then we'll kind of fill in behind. They also traded Bryce Huff, right? They could have tried to do a reclamation project there. They got rid of all the vets.
Yeah.
And they're turning over to the young guys. There's a lot of faith in him. And Hugh, a year ago, he seemed like a project. He was a third-round pick from a small school. If I told you a year ago he's the starting edge in 2025, I think most people would be like, I don't know about that.
Well, you look at him and be like, wow, what kind of leap is he going to take?
Right. And they think he could do it, obviously.
And I tell you, the thing that I feel like when I hear them talk, they're a tight-knit group. They study. It sounds like they study a lot. Because, you know, when Reed said here, he was talking about how he's always talking to Coop about football and things of that nature. The evolution of football, the game has changed so much from when I played, man, and the ability to send information to the players at home at any time of night, I think, is phenomenal. I think it's the most important thing that the Eagles have going for them, and the fact that all of these guys are locked in. Because the one thing that I hear when I hear all of them talk, they're of one mind. It's like a hive mind type situation. They're all saying the same things, man. And that's why I feel like they're chasing greatness. They're looking at it like, hey, yeah, we just won, but let's see how many we can win. And in order to do that, we have to do something that has never been done before. We have to be all in. And they're young, man. I think about the days when, you know, we drafted Ike. I got here, Ike's draft class, and the guys that came in after that, like, you had a few guys that were sprinkled in that were decent, like were players. But when you think about what the Eagles have been able to accumulate in the last couple of years, man, it feels like every draft class, whether it's the first pick or a middle pick or whatever, they have somebody that contributes to this team.
Well, if Hunt can be what we hope he could be, right? If he could be a legitimate edge starter.
Yeah.
Last year's draft is going to go down as one of the best in Eagles history. Quinyon, Cooper, Jalix, 1-2. I mean, we already know about Quinyon and Cooper, right? They've already shown enough that we feel confident they're big-time players.
Yeah.
If Hunt can take that leap to not just a rotational guy, but a guy that could get 8 to 10 sacks a season, like what Josh Sweat was, that's an incredible draft. I mean, it sustains you, especially with, like, you. I don't mean to bring us back here, defense, offense, and money, but that's how you pay all the offensive players. You need those guys in the draft, the cheap defensive players. See, it's the only way it keeps working for the next few years. All right, 215-592.
I like how you just try to hurry up and throw that
well,
in.
No, I
get the hell out of here.
I'm not trying to say you're right. I'm saying if you're going to be right, this is the only way it works.
But I like how you hurry up and you threw that in and you went straight to break.
You're darn right. Don't let you respond. 215-592-9494. More of your phone calls on all this coming up. You can react to Reed and Jalix, what they had to say. Do you like the mindset of new team, new season, or do you think they should embrace being the defending champs? Oh, we're getting something very interesting Jim Salisbury said this morning on the Phillies, and Devin Caney will join us when we get back. And by the way, the tennis match, if you are driving down FDR Park.
It's over.
Well, it didn't happen.
It's not over. You didn't miss it.
It's postponed due to the heat. A decision was made in
misinformation.
It was a blue jean decision.
A blue jeans decision was made to postpone it. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show. Live from Eagles Training Camp on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Nothing says summer like grilling. Grilling. And when I fire up the grill, you know I'm bringing the flavor. Hatfield's savory brown sugar marinated pork tenderloins is on my grilling go-to list. It's juicy, packed with that sweet, smoky goodness, and so easy to make. Just pop it on the grill, and boom, dinner's done right. This summer, put some pork on your fork with Hatfield. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes, tips, and where to buy. Hatfield, better care, better pork.
Well, we are. We're soaking up
really.
That sun. Too much.
Hot.
Broadcasting live from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's Champ Camp. It's driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World, RV sales, service, parts, and accessories. Hugh, let's get to our next guest in studio. So we had Reed Blankenship and Jalix Hunt. They were great. And now we have Devin Caney, who was watching practice today. He's been watching a lot of these. Devin, how are you doing today?
Scoop.
I'm not like Vic Fangio. I cannot simply say that heat is a mindset. Very, very warm out there today, but otherwise doing well, guys.
Yes, it was warm. Vic says it's a mindset. Now, before we get to the Eagles stuff, what do you make of WIP management's decision, led by Rod Lakin, who was in blue jeans today, which is quite a
joke. Forever in blue jeans.
To postpone Joe versus Jack. Do you think it was the right call?
So as someone who was supposed to be sideline reporting along with Buzz on that tennis match, I can't lie and say that I'm not a little bit relieved, because hearing that the Eagles moved their practice today an hour earlier because of the heat, I was like, okay, so we're still going to play tennis in the noon sun on one of the hottest days of
the year?
That's
exactly what I thought, by the way.
So because of that, yeah, I'm okay with it, but... I mean, I just want to know when it's going to be now. I was all ready to go. I'm in my tennis outfit. I was ready to, you know, be a ball girl out there and watch Joe lose. But now I guess we're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think it gives Jack a little bit of an advantage, because apparently Jack hadn't practiced much, but now maybe he could practice more.
Well, you wouldn't know that, because all I've seen from Jack in the afternoon show is complaining. They think now this thing is rigged. They think that, you know, Rod listened to what Joe DeCamera wanted to do.
Well, they complain.
A lot of complaining already. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think it was rigged. I just think it was...
I don't think it was rigged.
Yeah, the decision came down late. That's the controversial part now.
I think if Jack learns how to serve now, between now and whenever it's rescheduled to, then he could have a major advantage.
I agree. And then he has the advantage in the next one, you would think. Hugh running. I mean, that should be Jack. The tennis one's going to decide this.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Or it could all come down to basketball.
Which I think that's what we're hoping, just so we can watch those two play basketball. At least that's what I'm hoping. All right, Devin, let's get to the Eagles and what we've noticed and what you've noticed so far at training. So what's standing out to you, the big picture so far, Eagles training? Now, today was the first day with pads. Like, tell us about today and what you saw out there.
Well, I mean, like Cam Jurgens said yesterday, it doesn't really count until you have full pads on. It's not real football. So, And it's also the hottest day we've had thus far at training camp. So it was a tough day for the guys, but did start an hour earlier. What I'm seeing, and I'm not trying to skew negative here, is some of the position battles. I'm not feeling super optimistic when it comes to the one cornerback spot. Like Kelee Ringo, I know, has shown today. He had a good practice. He looked really good in one-on-ones, but still not really seeing, you know, a ton of stuff that makes me hopeful when it comes to Kelee Ringo. The safety position, Andrew Mukuba, I was excited about him. I think more excited than a lot of people when he was drafted, but he is undersized. He's already injured. Terrace Marshall has been having a really good camp on the offensive side. He left with an injury today. He got walked off the field, went to the medical tent. So I don't know. It's a little concerning. These guys seem to be dropping like flies. Devontae Smith also didn't practice again today. They're pushing these guys really hard this year, and you can sense that.
So you brought up Andrew Mukuba and the safety thing. I forget what your opinion was when it happened. Mm-hmm. What do you like now? And as we go into the summer, Elliot was saying yesterday he thinks they're going to need to go get a safety this before the first game of the season. Mm-hmm. I just feel like the elephant in the room is they had Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He was under contract for this season, and they traded him away for a guy that seems
that
like
may not even make the team.
Right, a backup at best. If they have to go get a safety, Devin, I feel like the obvious question is, why did you trade away CJGJ?
I agree. I agree with you. And I wish I had an answer for you. I wish I could say, you know, that this is why they did it. This is what makes sense. I still don't really understand it. I didn't hate the Mukuba pick. Like, I think I was more positive on it than the overall sentiment I was seeing and hearing when it came to the Mukuba pick, because he was really good. Mm-hmm. He was really good for Texas. You know, he has ties to guys who play on this team. He's just not the biggest guy, and we're seeing that. I mean, he's already injured. I don't think it's too serious, so I don't think it will sideline him for too long. That being said, clearly, you know, they're lacking depth at that position. I know people are high on Sidney Brown. I just have never been as high on Sidney Brown as it seems a lot of other people are. I don't know if he's, you know, the starting safety. So outside of Reed Blankenship, like, you don't really have a ton of depth there. I don't love moving Cooper DeJean to the safety position. I don't think that you should use someone that talented as a super utility player. Like, I think you should keep him where you know he's good, and that's nickel cornerback.
Well, Hugh, that's where he was great last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he was great.
Now, like, why would you mess? If it's not broke, don't fix it.
I feel it's almost like desperation if they have to do
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I was thinking this morning when you were talking about it, and I had a chance to listen to Vic Fangio talk briefly.
He's always entertaining.
Yeah, he is. and he said something that made me think about the CJGJ situation. He said a lot of times, you know, you don't see the mistakes that – this guy's making the secondary because the play's on the other side, but the mistakes are being made.
And they look at everything.
Yeah, right? and they look at everything. And I think that there was a lot of times that when you talk about CJGJ, and as well as he played with the plays that we saw, there might have been times, and I'm recklessly speculating on this, but it kind of plays in. I just thought about what he said, and I kind of thought about it, is that a lot of times he was taking liberties, or maybe I should say maybe. I don't know this for sure. I'm speculating. He was taking liberties in the defense, because how many times have we talked about Joe, him vulturing interceptions from Quinion? You know,
CJ
Gardner Johnson.
Yeah.
So maybe that was it. And I look at this situation. I look at it like this. Okay, if Keeley is getting cooked in practice, getting cooked by two of the best receivers in the game, how many, you know, you got to look at it like how many other receivers of that caliber are you going to see on the roster or on other teams? Probably not that many, you know, and with him being out there working against those guys, I'm suspecting that they think that the work is going to be easier when they play other teams. But to your point, the depth thing is an issue, and especially when you talk about guys being hurt and everything, you probably need to address that. But I think they want to try to give these young guys as much runway as they possibly can before they decide to make a move.
Well, and just to add to that, Vic Fangio this morning he talked a lot about Adoree Jackson, who has been doing pretty well in camp, but Fangio, you know, he always keeps it like super honest.
I love that about
him. I love it about him too, but it comes off a little like blunt. So when it came to Jackson, he was basically like, I mean, he didn't really last in Tennessee, and he didn't last in New York, and they didn't want to keep him, and now he's here, but that's how his decision. So basically saying like, well, now I guess he's my problem, and I have to figure out if this guy can figure it out while he's here. But basically ended it saying, you know, it's up to him and these players who haven't really proven themselves elsewhere but are now on our team and, you know, under my defense, and we'll see if they can get it done, and if not, well, that sucks for them. And that's what I love about Vic Fangio, but I'm always like, oh, my gosh, I hope he's
too
not
bad
listening to this right now.
Sometimes Vic reminds me of a WIP caller, just saying it like it is. Like, this guy, he's not that good.
Yeah, he's not that good. I don't know why he's on our team, but he's here. So.
Yeah, and look, he was pretty blunt last year at this time. He was like, we'll see how good this defense is, and it became great. So, you know, he's honest. All right, Devin, before we let you go, we need your take on this, because we were debating this yesterday. And I've decided it's Hugh Douglas's worst take ever, is he is pro-dome for the new Eagle Stadium. I mean, the whole survey that went out last week. Devin, where are you on a potential new Eagle Stadium down the road? Because I don't want a roof, and I feel like even if they have a retractable roof, whenever there's bad weather, they're going to close. Like, we'll never get a snow game again. We'll never have one of those moments like Saquon the snow last year. Where do you come down?
Can I just say worst take than Hugh saying Bryce Harper is a move the bases guy or small ball, move the runners guy?
Wow, there's a lot, actually. We might have to rank them all one day.
Yeah, that might be my favorite. I am anti-roof. I think something that makes football great is the elements. Football, if we wanted an indoor football team, then we could have, you know, kept the Philadelphia Soul around, because that's an arena football team.
Yeah, that's a football take there, Hugh.
I think that it takes away from the experience of why football is great. You know, it's a game that's played in the elements, whether it's sitting out here in the heat and we're all melting, or, you know, sitting out in the freezing cold snowy games in December and January. You mentioned the snow game against the Rams. I mean, that game is iconic. Some of the most iconic, memorable games in franchise history and football history happen when it's snowing, when it's foggy, when it's rainy, when it's freezing cold. So I'm very much anti-roof here.
And this is coming from the person who's on the sidelines.
Trust
as our sideline reporter during the games.
I have to experience it. So, yes, thank you. I know. I'm aware. And, look, during that snow game, was I sitting there by the end of the game like, oh, my gosh, I don't know how much longer I can take. I can't feel my hands. Maybe, but I will always remember it, and it's going to be so cool to, you know, look back, and it already is cool to say, you know, I was there on the sidelines throughout the blizzard of the snow game. So
you see, Hugh, it's not that hard.
I was trying to look out for the people.
Iconic.
No, it wasn't the people.
I mean, just
he's
think
cold
about
during the pregame.
Just
show.
Think
just
about,
be honest.
Just think
honest.
About Deb. If we had a dome, you wouldn't have to wear. I mean, you look nice on the sideline. You had a nice outfit on, but just think, you could have been on the sideline in a warm, like, long sleeve T-shirt or something.
Well,
nice.
I can still do that in the early fall before it's freezing.
And then she can bundle up like the rest of us.
Yeah. It's just different. It's cold outside.
Soft.
This guy's so soft. All right, Devin, we appreciate you hopping on.
Thanks, guys.
As always, we will talk soon. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's say hop in. All right, let's get back to the phone lines here. Some of the mindset of this football team entering the year and how it feels like they're just trying to pretend last year didn't happen. Do you like it, or do you want them to embrace
like
who they are? Defending champs. Dan is up on WIP. Hey, Dan.
Hey, my man. How's it going?
Hey, Dan. What's up, man?
I love it, and I'll tell you why. Like, these people are not, like, dull. Like, they know, however it feels to win a Super Bowl, football is the best sport ever. Like, you can't even compare it to other stuff. I don't care what anyone says. Like, they know that they won the Super Bowl. But people that are hyper-competitive, at, like, to get to the point they've been, they need things to motivate them. So, like, A.J. Brown, like, seeing that list where it put him at five, in his head, he's probably like, yo, they're all saying I suck. Okay, I'm going to go at it harder and everything. And if you can get, like, a group mentality where all of the guys are like, yeah, like, you know what? They are saying that stuff. They're saying Jalen Hurts sucks on this show. That's all I hear. That can motivate harder than anything. Like,
I don't think anyone's saying Jalen Hurts sucks, but I understand.
Well,
yeah,
they're not saying he sucks, but they're like, we're going to put him like out.
Right, I get it. Yeah, like doubting if he's elite, doubting if he's truly great. I know.
It's called an opinion.
But yeah,
the guy that's at number one, he outplayed twice, mm-hmm. and then like the first one.
That's right.
Yeah, I had to watch it from a prison cell, but like. The rest still took
it's
away
a lot
his
of
chance.
We didn't,
like,
we, didn't, know. We didn't need that.
It's like, again, okay, I get it. But, like, you know, like, whatever they need to motivate themselves. Like, they didn't forget that they, you know, it wasn't even a competitive Super Bowl. Like, if you're not a fan of either team, you'd probably turn it off when it was 24-0. Like, they didn't forget that. Or, like, the whole free Pete thing that came out on like, about the shirts. These guys had the shirts made, like, 3 days.
Yeah, of course. And you know what? And it's it, Dan, there's two ways to view that. One, and Hugh brought up earlier, well, they didn't win, right? They got their asses kicked in the Super Bowl. The other way to view it, though, and Dan, good phone call. We appreciate it. The other way to view it is they did win 15 games and get back to the Super Bowl. Yeah, Kyle was totally over the line with that one.
I see why you know people don't like you.
I couldn't.
No, hey, it was timely.
I mean, but the facts are the facts. I mean, Kyle's drop is factual. It's just a matter of like,
well,
that was a lot.
Well, it was like, you know, when you overshare, you know, that's a little bit of overshare.
I mean, was it oversharing?
Yeah, we didn't need to.
I mean,
that.
Was it necessary?
Well, hold on.
Did it have anything to do with the topic at hand?
I thought he was adding context to his feelings.
Hey, no, we're not making funny. I just
not sure
felt like that was not what we needed.
I want to defend Dan.
We love you, Dan.
Every caller here.
We are all inclusive.
Every caller here gives us a lot of information about them, what they're doing, who they're with.
I just wasn't prepared to hear that.
I know. But so Dan gave us his backstory. Now, is it that different than Aaron in San Diego's backstory about every little thing he does?
I don't think Aaron said
Yeah, but
he was
nobody
in jail,
wants Aaron's backstory.
No, I know.
I mean, I've been to jail too, but it, I don't tell everybody.
I wasn't trying to assert that Aaron in San Diego has been to prison. I meant like
no, but I'm
the
just
callers
saying.
Tell us a lot about themselves and their background and what they're doing. That caller Dan
will.
Just happened to let us know that he spent some time
no.
in the joint. That's
but
all.
Let's be honest. When Dan said that, it changed the temperature in the room.
Yeah, it did.
It was
all I could think about, as you can
tell. Yeah, because now you wonder.
The temperature was really changed by the guilty drop. I mean, let's be real.
It did. Now you wonder, well, damn. What did Dan go to jail for? Like,
it's kind of like
a natural progression.
It's kind of like when Aaron at San Diego said his wife was
hot.
Smoking
yeah,
hot. Yeah, like you.
And
your
Dan,
mind starts racing.
And Dan, we just want you to know we're not. We just.
Yeah,
talking,
just
man.
Just
we
yeah, poking, now we appreciate.
Man. We appreciate you calling, and you know what? Hey, you served your time. You're
yes.
you're a productive member of society, so that's all that matters.
Yes, and again,
call
Kyle,
again.
That was yeah.
Yeah, please, you don't let us our childishness deter you from calling.
Again, it was the drop.
There was time.
You and I were handling it fine until the drop.
That's why people don't like Kyle.
I don't know who you're referring to.
It was good.
Yeah, we will just pretend that drop fired on its own. Now, let's get to Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Oh, gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
Wild. I mean, that's how we're doing. What's up?
All right. Listen, man. Listen. What Sirianni is doing, he's doing the right thing. He got to have these guys, like, chimed in. Because, you know, everybody is coming after us this season. And he wants these guys to have that mentality. And like I say, it's 90% mentality, right? 10% physical. And he wants these guys to be in cooperation with each other as far as knowing that everybody is gunning for us, and we're going to have to step our game up.
Why are we whispering?
Are you whispering, or is your voice hoarse?
No, because I'm about to clock out from work. But anyway.
Oh, listen, I get it.
Listen, but I'm going to say this.
Now wait, I just want to. Do we have to whisper with you, or are you just the only one that's going to whisper?
Listen, all right, I'm going to say this real quick. He got everybody chimed in. He got everybody on point because, like I said, everybody is coming for us because we are the Super Bowl champs, and he got to have everybody ready. You know, but I'm about to clock out. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, have a good day, man.
Well, we appreciate.
We'll get you a nice little adult beverage.
Yeah, nice that was a pretty remarkable back-to-back calls there with the guilty drop, and then Will whispering his phone call.
Is he about to get off of work?
Yeah. Whenever someone's whispering, I feel like I have to whisper too. Otherwise, it's weird.
It just feels appropriate. Yeah, for no reason.
I was considering giving him the Rocky music just to see where he would take it.
It would drown him out, though.
Yeah, he'd probably have
or he would rise to the music like he's been.
No, he'd have had a rough one trying to make.
Well, I don't want him to get in trouble at work. I really do appreciate people that spend.
Nah, I don't mind
that are on the job getting paid and they call us.
Is it on the clock?
On the clock, and I think our show of all the shows probably has the most of that. But just generally,
yeah, because of our time.
Yeah, right. Like the morning show, they probably have a lot of their calls that are driving to work or getting ready for work. Afternoon show, the opposite, leaving work and all that. We're on 10 at 2. That's for a lot of people, that's prime work time.
Speaking of driving, man, since we're here.
Uh-oh.
It's a lady this morning that was on her way to the Naval Yard.
You got beep?
If
you got
she's
beep?
Listening, you need to learn how to drive. And she was driving a white Jeep.
Oh, no.
And she,
don't put the license plate out there.
No, I don't know a license plate, but she was driving a white Jeep, Joe. And she, like, I drive a big truck, and she, like, you know how you're trying to get over? She forcefully got over, right? So I let her go. So then she gets in my lane, then she jumps into the other lane. Mm. And so you know how going across the bridge, you know how to, going by the airport, you know, I forgot the name of the bridge to the side. But I'm getting ready to come to the stadium, and she decides that she's in the wrong lane, right? So then she decides to muscle me out of the lane. Like I'm in front of her, and it's the space is really tight.
You got bullied by a white Jeep?
Yeah, and a lady, and it wasn't nothing I could say because you know she's a little lady, and when I looked at her, I'm like, "Lady, are you serious?" And she just kept driving. But you need to drive. Your husband would be mad at you or your significant other because that was ridiculous. If I didn't see you, we'd have had an accident. If I didn't see her because you didn't make the right decision, it would have been an accident.
Well,
so
I'm
just
glad
do better.
You saw her. Yeah.
Yeah, just do better.
And now she was called out on WIP.
Yeah, she was. She works at the Naval Yard, drives a white little Jeep. Stop it. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, being a little bully.
Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Kyle, Joe, Hugh, and the crew, what's going on?
What's going on,
what's
man?
Up, Bruce?
Man, I'm down here in sunny Georgia, man, getting the last weekend with the grandkids, you know, before they get start school. So I'm actually working too, but I'm playing fun police this week.
Oh, that's a great job, Bruce. Enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Joe, man, I see, man, you in worry wart mode.
No, not worried. Man. I'm just trying to get everyone on the right page here. No one's worried. Right page.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I think here's the nuance with them, you know, and where they're going. Because a lot of them, what's amazing about them is that they took the time out and enjoyed themselves after the parade, but then they were ready to go back to work. And, you know, AJ, you know, had some things on social media about that as well as the rest of them. I think that they're in the right place because Kyle kind of stole my thunder in saying the same thing. You know, I'll just say it again. I think that approach is keeping them focused because, you know, you have MJ and you had Brady that used to keep, you know, come up with narratives to keep themselves focused on being great. And I think that's where that narrative takes us. It says, hey, you've accomplished this, but look, forget about it. It's all about staying focused on the future. And I think that those guys are going to do some great things because I think we're going to see some things that we haven't seen before. We're going to see a much more dynamic offense, and the defense is, you know, there's some questionable things about where they are. I mean, because of the turnovers, but I think that we're going to do some outstanding things this year.
Well, they should. I mean, I think the offense could be better than it was last year. Bruce, appreciate it. I mean, it could be better in terms of the passing game, the running game. You know, obviously it's going to be tough to top what they did last year. One thing, quickly. Devin is now the second person, right? Elliot, who is with us, you know, a lot of our camp so far, and now mm-hmm. Devin after watching practice. They're both observing the same thing. Well, that secondary and, mm-hmm. and the spots that they lost veterans at, right? The safety position feels to me like, and even when we had Reed, I mean, he seemed to be express confidence in his teammates, but he even let us hear that they're rotating, right? That he doesn't seem it didn't.
There's like, no continuity, yet.
Right? He didn't strike me as saying, "Well, Sydney's playing really well," or "I've lined up a lot next to Andrew Makuba," right? Who's now banged up. It feels like he even acknowledged every time he looks over, there's a different safety next to him.
Well, I think that they're trying to figure out. I think this is how I look at it, and I haven't. There's a lot of practice people that I don't see, but just listening to what's being said and how they're doing things, I think this is their plan. I think in a pinch, Cooper DeJean is going to be the safety in a pinch. Now, they're looking for other guys that potentially could step up. They got time. I feel like when Elliot made the remark that the safety's not on the roster.
He's saying they have to trade for one, basically, or sign one.
That might be true. But right now, I think that they're feeling like, okay, we know in a pinch we could put Cooper back here. Let's see who else steps up.
So you might be right, and they do have, what, 30?
And you got time. You got time to figure it out.
37 days till the opener. I just want to point out, though, time. Think about the quarterbacks and receivers the first month of the season we're going to see. Week one, Dak with CeeDee and George Pickens. Week two, Mahomes, enough said.
Mm-hmm.
Week three, Stafford, if he's healthy, he's got a back issue right now. But Stafford with Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
Week four, Baker Mayfield with Mike Evans and a first-round pick. These teams could throw the football like that.
So, and they're probably going to try, especially if they know that you are in a situation where you're still trying to figure that position out. But I will say this. The one thing that I like about this team so far, they're thin at the safety spot, but they're pretty smart. And what I heard yesterday was the reason why the defense is always ahead of the offense. I'm going to say that first. But the guys up front put a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, well, that can certainly mask some things to the back end. All right, 215-592-9494. We're back to the phone lines on all this coming up. Do you wish the Eagles just embrace who they are, that they're defending Super Bowl champions? Plus, very interesting comment from Jim Salisbury on the morning show on what some Phillies veterans think about the upcoming trade. You're not going to want to miss this. 215-592-9494. Midday show live from the NovaCare Complex for Eagles training camp on Sports Radio 94 WIP.